This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to episode 244 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 22nd of June 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jacob, Jennifer, and myself, Andrew. And our special guest today is Leonie Smith, who is the cybersafetylady.com.au. How are you, Brad?
I'm great, mate. How are you? How are you?
Not bad for a Saturday, mate. Not bad for a Saturday. End of the week is always good.
Oh, it is, mate. I agree, 100%. And what's been going on with you, mate? How's your week been?
Yeah, just same old, really. Just been busy working away on apps and things like that. And so went to a pub during the middle of the week and watched the soccer with a few mates. So Australia's into the World Cup. That was pretty cool. So yeah, it's been okay.
All right. Now, I've got a question about that.
Hmm.
To soccer. Now, what is the deal with SBS and Foxtel?
Okay, Foxtel have the rights to live soccer in Australia for, World Cup qualifiers, these sorts of things, A-League. SBS have very recently got a deal where they can play the soccer, but it has to be on a one-hour delay.
Wow, that sucks.
I like it. I don't have Foxtel, and I'm willing to wait now to watch it delayed.
Oh, man, I was on Zbox the other day talking about it, and the girl said to me it's delayed 30 minutes something. But, yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's all right, if people want to watch soccer, if it's delayed anyway, but, what else has been happening, Andrew? Any other news?
Not really, Brad. It's been pretty chilly here in Melbourne. Yep, 0.6 degrees most mornings. We've been getting sort of ice on the car and having to wipe all that off. It's been very, very cold.
All right. Also, we have got Jennifer on filling in for Jody today. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. You say it's cold. Today is the first day of summer here in the States.
Is it really?
So, yeah, it sure is. Yeah. Brilliant. Right. I know. I actually prefer the winter, though, so I'll trade you if you want.
maybe not.
While you guys have the World Cup going, we have our Stanley Cup going for the NHL right now. So go Blackhawks.
Oh, woo-hoo! Nice. Good one. NFL, that's football, isn't it, over there?
Actually, NHL. NHL, National Hockey
League. Oh, hockey. Oh, okay. Good stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So also we have Jacob back on today, as always. Jacob, what's up, mate?
Nothing much.
And you may as well just say it now before you forget.
What's Jake, that?
Well, you actually forgot, did you? You're actually getting a new internet.
Higher speed internet.
Well, there you go. What do you think about that, Jennifer?
I think that is wonderful. I think Jacob has needed it. He's moving from DSL over to a higher speed cable. And yeah, I'm all for it. You can do so much more now. So
you can indeed.
When are you getting it, Jacob?
Friday of next week.
Okay, so next Friday. Good deal.
He won't shut up about it until then. Steve, how are you, mate? Welcome back.
Oops, got my mic muted. Hey, how you doing?
How you going, mate? Welcome to the show. How's your show been today?
We just did open chat. Didn't have anything planned. We do have a lot of stuff next week, though.
All right, good stuff. And also we have Leonie Smith on today. Welcome to the show, Leonie.
Hi there.
Welcome. Good to have you on. And we'll chat about what you do and that sort of good fun stuff. Jennifer has some news, so let's jump into the news, Jennifer.
All right. First on the news agenda from GigaOM, that we talk about cord cutters. Cord cutters alert. 60 million Americans are now using an antenna to watch free TV. So basically 19.3% of all U.S. TV households get their TV fixed from free over-the-air broadcasts. And that means that basically it's 22.4 million households, representing 59.7 million in America, doing free TV. In comparison, back in 2010, that was only 14% of all households. So growth is on the rise.
Yep.
So, yeah, exciting stuff. Speaking of cord cutting, I know we'll come back to all the stories after we run through them all. Apple TV gets an update. They're adding HBO Go, Watch ESPN, Crunchyroll, and Qello, and Sky News. So some that might not know what those are, I think we all know what HBO Go is and Watch ESPN, so that's sports. And then Sky News offers 24-hour-a-day news, 7 days a week for the U.S., U.K., and Ireland. And then we have Crunchyroll, which is a video service for Japanese anime and Asian media. And Qello is on-demand streaming for high-def concerts and music documentaries. So good stuff. I love the fact that they're adding to the library of apps for Apple TV. And while we're on the same page of TV, let's talk about TiVo, right? So TiVo is prepping their next generation DVRs with a new remote control and up to 6 tuners. So they are basically what they're doing is they're just starting, you know, or I guess doing a whole refresh, right, on their DVRs. And before they were stuck with, if you had over-the-air broadcast television, you were stuck with only 2 tuners. So they're making it so that you can actually have over-the-air broadcast with up to 6 tuners on their next-gen devices. So we expect. So more to come on that. So good news from TiVo. Also in the news from The Verge, Facebook archive tool exposed contact for 6 million users. So it says here, Facebook software for letting users download their data inadvertently exposed contact information for 6 million users. And basically what was exposed were the phone numbers and email addresses that are stored as part of its friend recommendations algorithms attached to Facebook accounts. So if you were downloading your Facebook content or your Facebook, doing an archive of your Facebook information, it would download all of your friends' email addresses and phone numbers that they might not have previously shared. So they have fixed this, and they are embarrassed and say it should not happen again. And also in the news, a lot of news stories today, Robert Downey Jr. reportedly signs with HTC for a $12 million marketing blitz. So HTC is preparing an extensive 2-year marketing campaign featuring Iron Man star Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark. Who doesn't want Tony Stark to represent them with, you know, with anything, right? I mean, gosh, if you could tie his name to something, oh my gosh, I'm all over that. So they are bringing him on board. And I think that's pretty great. Well, I guess we'll get into opinions of it here soon. But HTC has struggled to keep up with the pace of rival Samsung, who has, you know, huge marketing efforts. So hopefully this will help them. So, you know, maybe Robert Downey Jr. can beef it up a little bit there. Then also in the news, Dig Reader is coming. So we all remember Dig from back in 2007. Well, they have launched another product called, it's an RSS reader, so Dig Reader. And they are doing this just in time, releasing it just in time before Google Reader goes away. And Google Reader will be going away on July 1st. So yay for Dig. Also, in that same arena, AOL Reader is launching into a private beta that is available on Monday. So everyone's trying to get these products out right before Google Reader shuts its doors so you can import your Google content into these new readers. A little bit more news here, you guys. Hang on there. Facebook has added the ability to add images to comments. And this is according to The Verge, but I have tried this. It does work. So if you are on a web version of Facebook, either on your computer or the web browser on your device, you would be able to insert pictures, images into the comments that you leave on post. It does not work from the mobile app, but it does work on your phone if you were on the web browser in the mobile version. And last but not least, Instagram jumped on the video bandwagon with 15 second video features. And they are now, basically, they've launched video, so with filters, right? So if you are into Instagram, you can now send 15-second or create 15-second videos with 13 filters. And that is what is happening in the tech news today.
Great news as always, Jennifer. Great reading them. I want to speak about TiVo for a minute with you, Jennifer. What's your view on the new TiVo that may come out?
I am so excited about the new TiVo, and I'll tell you why. I have been wanting to upgrade my TiVo, and the only reason I haven't been able to is because I am a cord cutter, and the limitations that they have, there was some FCC rule, I believe, that made it so that they could not do over the air on their other devices. So that's why it was limited to the older one that I had. So now they actually have petitioned the FCC to waive that analog tuner requirement, and going forward they'll have this newer system with using over the air broadcast. So to me, that's great. I've been wanting to upgrade, and I want to use the TiVo mini extender, you know, that works with the newer products. So
I just want to say that I'm very jealous of you right now, because we don't get that over here, unfortunately.
Oh, that's not fair. You should.
I don't know what's going on with TiVo Australia. They've just gone to dead. I don't know what's going on with them.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, that's great for you guys over there. Also, the Apple TV's great update last week. That's pretty good.
That is great. I know. I love the Apple TV. And you and I were talking about that as well. After having it now for what I guess it's been about almost a week, I guess, and I have not turned on my Roku. I have not turned on my Xbox. I haven't turned on anything except for the Apple TV. I mean, it works so much better. It just is faster.
It is very fast.
It's prettier. Oh my gosh. I love it.
The Instagram for video, that's pretty cool. I love that. That's pretty great. That's cool. All right, Andrew, what's your view on them stories? I want to get your view on the video one as well, because I know you're doing video as well.
Lots of stories you speak. Well done, Jane. Great news reading there.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
TiVo. Yeah, I would love to get more TiVo activity in Australia, but we, for some reason, it just really wasn't adopted, which is disappointing. Facebook image comments, it's sort of something I've always really wanted, you know. Why can't we put comments in with images? Wouldn't that be cool? And this week it sort of started happening, and it's actually not that cool, I don't think. It almost feels messy. It feels it disrupts the comments. So really disappointing in that, because it's something which I've wanted to see for a while, and the first time I saw it, I was like, this is not what it was meant to have been. Robert Downey Jr. for advertising campaign, HTC, that is so cool. I mean, I'm an Apple boy, but I'd almost want to put like a HTC in my back pocket just for the sake of that, just so I could be like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr., he and I had a chat, he got me on board.
Yep, I know. Anything with that, I mean, like, he's just the coolest, right? I mean,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and that, I think that's really gonna, I really hope that the marketing behind this is great. Evidently, he's gonna have some type of what they do with it. So, I'm looking forward to
it. Another big one. If we can get another big player on Android, obviously Samsung is huge, HTC is sort of around that middle. If we can get HTC right up, it's gonna be great for competition.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we need it.
All right, Steve, what's your view on them stories?
Oh, I just mentioned Robert Downey Jr. I just want one of those metal suits. Are awesome. If I could actually get one of those and launch off.
Good stuff. What about you, Leonie? Do you have any views on them stories?
I certainly do.
Go ahead.
I love my Apple TV. We've got Apple TVs at home and have had it since... do we have the one? I think we have got two. But I would love to see more HBO on our Apple TVs, but yeah. I still have to buy them from iTunes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And the Facebook releasing those 6 million... it's kind of, I just think that's not that exciting, really, because I'm a social media consultant, and there is a point where it says, you know, advertise your page to your friends, and you can, you know, upload your entire address book to Facebook, and I advise all my clients never to do that because I just think it's a huge invasion of privacy. These have, you know, some of those people won't even be on Facebook, and yet Facebook want the details that you've got in your address book. So if that then gets released because people are archiving their Facebook, then it's kind of not really the worst thing, and it's not unexpected, and I'm not surprised.
It's a really good point, Leonie. I mean, what they're actually... For a lot of these sites, when you sign up and things like that, you know, put all of your contacts from your phone numbers, and that, yeah. you know, your mobile contacts, put them on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if that's actually legal, because you're effectively providing somebody else's contact details without their, you know, consent to another commercial application.
I'll tell you where it gets really creepy is Kik Messenger. Kik Messenger is an app that a lot of kids are taking up. And I created a Kik Messenger account just to see what it was all about, because I don't use that. I use that usually iMessage or Facebook Messenger. And I let it scan my address book to see what was going on, and it pulled up the fact that one of my friends, who's a mum, her daughter, who's 13, pulled up her Kik Messenger account through my address book. I don't have her details, wow. but I have the mother's. That was really creepy.
Hmm. Far out. Well, I don't use that. I use the Message Me. Do you know that app?
Message
Me.
Message Me, yeah. I've heard of that, but I don't use that one either. Okay. I just tend to use Facebook Messenger most of the time, or Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook Messenger, Twitter, or, you know, with my family that have got iPhones, iMessage. But, yeah, that whole thing of apps wanting you to upload your address book, I really would guard people against doing that, because it's not fair to the people that have given you those details to then upload it to a third party.
All right. Yep. All right, Jacob, what's your view on them stories?
Yes, I would like to see the TiVo, the six tuner TiVo.
Yeah. See it where?
Well, I could go to Best Buy and look at it.
Okay.
Don't you have to get a TiVo account to make it work, or can you just use it just by itself?
No, you do need a TiVo account, a TiVo subscription.
You have to pay a subscription. How much is the subscription, Jennifer?
Mine is either $12.95 or $14.95, but there's different tiers. So if you, depending on when you sign up or how much you pay for the device up front, you know. So I think. I believe mine is $14.95 a month.
Is that per month or per month?
Per month, yeah.
Yeah, per month.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good value.
It is. Great value. And also, what's your view on that cord-cutting story too, Andrew? What do you think? Because you're into that. Are you? Or not?
On which story, sorry, Brent?
The cord-cutter one. The one.
Oh, I'm one of those cord-cutters. I had Foxtel running in Brisbane when I was up there. It was, you know, just $100 a month or something.
Yeah.
I moved down to Melbourne about a year ago with my wife, and we didn't get the Foxtel, the cable connected up down here. I've got a number of friends down here. I go to the football down here, and we sort of figured it's really not worth it. And we haven't looked back. We've had no problem. It's $100 a month that we save. On the odd occasion, there's something that I don't have access to. You know, I can download it, I can put it through Apple TV, I can run it through iTunes or whatever, but haven't had any problem at all.
Mm. No, that's good that American people over there cutting the cable, it's good. Steve, what's your view on that story?
Yeah, I'm seeing it now. It's just like a lot of people are getting rid of their cable TV. The packages are getting expensive. You're getting all these channels, but
yeah,
I think they just throw them in just to... trying to give you a reason, you know, trying to, you know, keep cable, I guess. I mean, for the time being, I'm going to keep cable the way it is. Yeah, a lot of we're seeing a lot of TV and cable providers actually streaming over the internet anyway. So trying to jump in on it as well.
How many channels? We get like 100 channels or something crazy. And really, if we could pick our own, we'd probably have like 8 channels that we actually watch.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Exactly. And that's one of the things with the cable providers that just and satellite too that drives me nuts, that I don't watch all those channels. Who has time to sit there and watch all those channels? You don't. You only want a few. You know, I would prefer if they were to do a la carte, everything a la carte. Okay, I want this channel, this channel. I don't want to buy a bundle of channels. I just want these channels and that's it. Only charge me for what I view. But they don't do that. So I cut the cord a few years ago, you know, and I'm not going to go back. It's why go back when I can get free TV and then stream as well, you know? So I
use Foxtel Go on my iPad. I love that. Thanks to Beverly. She hooked me up with that. And I also use Foxtel on my Xbox, which I don't use much anymore because
But as you just said, Jennifer, I mean, who has time for all that? Like, I find that if we've got Foxtel, we tend to spend all weekend watching telly, whereas in Melbourne down here, we're out on the weekends, we're having lunch with friends, we're doing things. The only thing that I do miss is there are, of course, some live sports events that I miss.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the only thing. Anything else I can either get online or it just doesn't bother me that I've missed it. I mean, by the time we get home from work at night, we have dinner, we sit down, we've probably got an hour or two at the most that we spend time watching television anyway, so it's really not a big concern what's on at the
What about you, Lynette? Do you, what do you have, Foxtel, or do you watch Free Dad Digital? Leonie, what do you have, Foxtel? Or?
I don't have any cable TV, I never have.
That's good.
I'm not a big TV watcher at all. I tend to chew up a lot of iTunes. I get my favorite TV series and lock myself in the bedroom when my husband's watching the footy. Right now I'm up to series 4 of 30 Rock, Game of Thrones. Hated that. I've got lots and lots of TV series that I watch on YouTube. It costs a fortune, though, to do it that way.
It does. But I reckon the Apple TV is the way to go, I reckon. So I love it. I love my Apple TV. I use it every day for music and stuff and TVs and movies and that. It's really good.
Yeah, we have a problem with streaming sometimes
because
we have very slow internet here. We've only got about 5 megabits down at the most. And with everybody using it, because I've got 2 teenage boys that are gamers – the streaming can really be a bit problematic.
Well, that's not good. Do you have you heard of Quick Flix before?
Quick Flix?
Yeah.
No, I haven't used that. Mainly, we also have Fetch TV as well through iNet, which is really good.
Yep.
The kids love that because we just have it set up to watch to record every series or every episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Great show.
Yes.
5 years worth of Simpsons. They've got like 5 years worth of Simpsons episode. Yeah, exactly. So that works really well for them. So they just watch that whenever they feel like it. My kids do not watch free-to-air, on-demand, like not on-demand TV at all. They like to – they're that generation, like they're 13 and 16, that are not going to – they're going to stop watching it that way. They want to watch their TV, what they want to watch and when they want to watch it.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
watch a lot of YouTube.
Oh, yeah, YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, YouTube's great. Yeah, YouTube's great. Yep. All right, Andrew, what else do you want to mention? Any other stories, Andrew, you want to mention about any? Is that it?
Not really. Just be great to have a chat to Leonie and hear a bit more about what she's up to.
Yeah, welcome, Leonie, to the show. Good to have you on.
Thanks. I was going to ask you guys, what about that news story that came out about the webcams? Do you guys put sticky stuff over your webcams? Probably not, because you do a lot of broadcasting.
I don't have a webcam. I don't use webcams.
I did on my old work computer. I had a piece of masking tape over the camera, just in case someone, I'd accidentally turn it on or something. But I didn't see the news story you're talking about.
Okay, well, if you go to Naked Security, Sophos, they've got a pretty good news story on there about it. It came out a couple of days ago that about a whole bunch of pictures and videos that were discovered on the internet. Well, they've been around for a while, of people that have got photos taken of them when they're not, you know, they're not using their webcams. So all these stories came out about it, and all, in the comments they were sort of taking a survey to see how many people were paranoid enough to be able to put, you know, to put sticky tape or something over their webcam. So I was just wondering if you guys ever thought about that. It said there was a forum with tutorials on how to hack webcams, and it had about 428,000 posts.
That is messed up. That is just messed up that people would even do that, you know, that would hack in. And
where there is a will and a way, it will happen.
Yeah, if there's a market of people who want to see it, then there'll be, you know, people who can deliver it. That is really messed up.
I don't use webcams that much, except like Google Plus, and I actually got it turned on. In fact, I don't even have it plugged in. For broadcasting, I use camcorders, which come in through HDMI, and those are normally turned off. You can't. In fact, I unplug them because if the power turns off and back on, they automatically switch on. So I usually unplug them. So I'm think I'm safe anyway.
Yeah, well, I use my laptop usually closed because I have a nice big 27-inch screen that I look at.
Nice.
Look at the internet and the. And the web through anyway.
Good stuff. So, yeah. Leonie, do you use a Mac at all, or what sort of computer do you use?
I am a Mac fangirl.
Oh, nice.
Terrible Mac fangirl. I have the latest MacBook Pro, which is soon to be replaced by something else, and the latest iPad and an iPhone 5.
Nice.
And the whole family's got,
What iPad Apple do you have? What iPad do you have?
The latest one.
iPad
the one
Mini?
That has no name.
iPad Mini?
No, the large one. I like the Retina display.
Oh, the iPad 4. Okay.
Yeah, once you have the Retina display, I don't think you can go back. Even though it doesn't, you know, for gaming and stuff, it's a little bit slower. But yeah, I like it. I actually use it a lot.
Is that what you have on your MacBook Pro as well? The Retina one?
Yeah, I've got the Retina.
Me too. Yeah. I have the same one, and you can tell us when you go to another machine. It's like, you don't want to seem like a snob, but you can really tell a difference, right?
I see pixels.
I know.
Well, did you guys notice like a reduction in battery life or anything? Or I think it is a little bit thicker to compensate for that, though.
No, well. No. To be honest, I mostly use my MacBook Pro at my desk as a PC, and if I'm out and about, I take the iPad with me, and I've been traveling a bit lately, and I set it up determinately so that I could only take my iPad with me. I've got a Logitech mini keyboard with it because I'm a touch typist, which I love, and that is a magnetic cover as well.
Yeah, I've got the same keyboard. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I use – I've got all my files on my – I call it my desktop, but it isn't a desktop. My laptop up on synced with Dropbox. So if I'm out anywhere, every single file I've got on my laptop is synced with Dropbox. I pick it up from there if I need to. So I haven't actually got to the stage yet where I've gone laptop free, but I would like to one day, like, do a whole week of just iPad and see how I go with it. The only thing is I can't do any – really difficult for me to do any kind of Photoshop stuff that I like to do, because I do a lot of blogging and I, you know, use, you know, various apps like Sketch and stuff on my pictures, and that's really hard to do.
So what are your thoughts around security? What are your thoughts around security, Leon? I mean, you know, looking at your website, thecybersafetylady.com.au, obviously it's all around cyber safety, but then would obviously have a large impact on security using Dropbox and being so cloud-oriented. Are there any particular things that you do to set yourself up for security and to ensure, you know, that your files and things remain private?
I use Dropbox primarily because so far it hasn't had a major security breach. And I've been with Dropbox since the early days, and I'm quite happy with it. I backup everything. So I'm like the backup queen. The only thing I haven't done is buried it, you know, like a backup disk in the backyard. So, you know, I use Carbonite as well as Time Machine. But as far as security goes, I'm just really, really careful about making sure I've got all my firewalls set up, that I just don't do anything that's going to be used against me. So, and I check all the, I'm like the IT person for the whole family, so I go around and check all their stuff as well. As far as my website goes, and what I do, it's more, it's advice for teens and kids and business on cyber safety, particularly around social media, because I train people on social media and I've been involved in the internet for since about 1995 doing stuff online. So I'm a lot about education. So it's about, I love the internet, I love what it does, I love how it connects us all, and I've personally benefited a lot from my time on the internet as far as support and everything goes, but understand how to use it. I actually call it this whole problem that we're having with privacy and stuff, too many noobs. If you know what I mean. Too many noobs, because everybody's jumping in there without having that history of understanding how it works. So it's only just sort of recently that people are finally understanding that, oh, okay, when I upload this, it just doesn't go to my friends. It goes out to the entire world unless I tick this box and tick this box. And that's the biggest problem that we have, is that so many people are jumping into getting and sharing stuff on the internet. They haven't got that background of understanding what it's like for some person on the other side of the world to take your content and do something with it that it wasn't intended for.
All right. You've been on the radio, you've been on the TV. What sort of media things have you done, Leonie? Like podcasts and that sort of stuff?
Yeah. As being interviewed, because I was telling you guys earlier, I was a jazz singer. I've been a jazz singer for 20 years.
Yep.
And I was interviewed quite a lot in the old days for that. So I've been interviewed quite a bit. And then I had my own jazz program up here for 4 years on a community radio station where I was the person doing it, loved it. And nice. Then they decided they wanted to go beige and go to easy listening music. That's when I quit. And then I've done a lot of internet podcasts. I got quite heavily involved in Second Life, and I had a virtual TV show for 4 years in Second Life, interviewing over, I think, 500 people I interviewed with that.
Wow.
So me now being interviewed about cyber safety is quite comfortable, really. It's something I'm really passionate about. I'm really passionate about people protecting themselves online and understanding what the internet is and understanding the apps that they're using and what their kids are using, and trying to get a lot of parents, particularly my generation of parents, to be a lot more involved with what their kids are doing online, because too many of them just throw their hands up in the air and say, it's all too hard, I'll never be able to keep up with them, and let's just hope for the best.
Well, that's the problem, that the kids these days tend to know more than the parents. So the parents, they, as you said, they throw their hands in the air because they know that there's exposure, but they have no idea what to do or how to do it. So it's really an important thing that you're doing for the children to try and make sure that, you know, they're protected online.
It's actually, in a funny way, it's actually not just for the children, it's for the adults as well. A lot of parents I speak to, even though I talk to them about, you know, these are the sort of things that can happen and whatever, will go home. And I've got a manual that I have, and go through their own accounts and set them up so they're private. So many mums that are my age are uploading pictures of their kids to Facebook with the school. Like this woman I know, she's always uploading pictures of her kids, and I kind of muted her. Like I try and tell them, look, you are interested in photos of your kids, but honestly, the rest of us, not so interesting. A cat, different story. But holding up a certificate of merit where the child goes to school and all this kind of stuff, which could be quite harmless unless somebody decides they don't like her and they don't like her family. So it's also about educating adults, particularly people that are in the public eye, about what can possibly happen to their private content. It could end up, you know, on somebody's blog post where it's not meant to be, or in advertising, or on some kind of pedophile, you know, web ring, anything. And it's really about, look, we're just oversharing. We are so hugely oversharing.
And that demographic, you know, especially the I guess all of the demographics really now are oversharing. You're right, with the mothers sharing so many pictures of their children on there. And I do the same thing. I mute a lot of different people. And but I'm thinking also with the kids that, or people even in their early 20s, they put picture after picture after picture, and they think, you know, even if they just share it with their Facebook friends, for example, and it's just for people that are on, but that doesn't mean that picture isn't going to go somewhere else. Someone's going to take it and share it with someone else, and anything you put out there is at risk, and they just really need to be more serious with it. And I think it's fabulous that you have the site and you're helping to spread the message. And another thing that I think about with my personal experiences is, you know, I'm like you. I'm the tech savvy one in the family. I'm more tech savvy than my daughter, for example, even. And so I'm the geek. So I do everything for everyone here. But my dad's pretty good with it. But my mother, you know, she's in her 60s, and she used to post things on Facebook that would go publicly in everyone's walls, and, you know, just not understanding the way things work. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking that this would even help that demographic as well, I would think, right? That older demographic. Yeah.
I'm going to be doing some talks to seniors actually on it as well. As I said, too many noobs. It's just too easy for people to do all this stuff and get it up there. And the problem with the kids is that they it's like, what's that saying? Like, too much, it's, you know too much, but not enough. They have the smarts to be able to download all these apps and use them and everything, but they don't have the street smarts. So they're naive in what's going to happen. I was helping a girl yesterday. It was, I felt really quite helpless for this poor girl. She rang me. She's got she found out that somebody's created, a sort of a fake account on Ask FM. I don't know if you guys have heard of Ask FM. It's a Q&A app and website where you can create a profile and people can ask you any question they want. 50% of the questions are just outright abuse and pornographic. And somebody is pretending to be her asking questions of another person. So it's not even her account. Like, she doesn't have an account. So for her to report another person's questions is almost impossible on this Ask FM site. So she's basically getting cyberbullied, and everybody's attacking her now, thinking it's her that's posting these questions. It'd be like someone going onto a blog and posting comments as if, like, abusive comments as if it is from you.
That's terrible. That's almost like, I remember a similar story happened to my daughter when AIM was the main source of instant messenger back then, and someone had hacked her AIM and was sending out all of these risque, slutty, terrible messages to these people in her friends, you know? And so eventually everyone realized it wasn't her, but it just really looked bad. And then finally, it was maybe like a year later where I was able to finally get this stopped and fix it. But what a mess, you know?
Well, yeah. You can report fake accounts, but reporting fake comments or questions is really, really mm-hmm. difficult to do. So, and she's only in year 8. And I think a lot of the problem is it's partly the media, because what they do is they hype up the really bad stuff. You know, the pedophiles that are meeting kids in real life and all that kind of stuff, which is fair enough. But really the biggest problem is for all these kids and for parents and everybody uploading all their personal details is just if one of the, you know, friends of their child gets into an argument with them and uses those personal details and shares them, you know, in a way that hurts that child. You're most likely to be cyberbullied by someone you know, not a complete stranger on the other side of the world. And when I think about how much content people are uploading, if they ever get to a point in their lives, like they're 25 years old and their mum's put up photos of them since they were in the womb, and they say, I want all that stuff down, it's really embarrassing. Imagine trying to get all that stuff down.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Like you said, I mean, it's people who share it who know you. If you get into an argument, they put it up on some pervert's website of you running around, you know, the pool in your bathing suit and things like this. This stuff has been shared with people around you, but very easily
shared on to someone. To the wrong hand. Yeah, well, there's a website called jerk.com. I don't know if you've heard about that. And what you can do is upload pictures of people on jerk.com with all their personal details, their real life name and everything, and you basically review them and say why you hate them. And a client of mine, her daughter had a picture of her and her boyfriend put up on that by somebody who was obviously didn't like her. And she has a really unusual name, very unusual Croatian name. So when you Google her name now, the first thing that comes up is that she has been uploaded to jerk.com, and in their terms of service, they say they never take anything down.
Oh, that's terrible.
How can they not take things down? I mean, it must be housed offshore somewhere.
It's an American site. I did a bit of an investigation into it and couldn't find out actually who owned it. But for us Australians, then going through the American court system and saying, you know, this is defamatory or whatever, to go through that whole process. And I told her to basically contact the police in that case, because there was nothing anyone could do because of the way they've set up their site.
I wonder if you could follow up Google and get them to remove you at least from...
From tracking
Google search, maybe.
Yeah,
that would probably be one option, is to remove that suggestion. That's the other thing.
And the other thing too, Leonie, I find a lot, people go on holidays and they put all this information up that they're heading away for the week, or that, you know, we're off here and here's photos of us 2 hours away from home. I'm sure it's something that in your industry you're well aware of the risks involved. What's your thoughts on that? How do you sort of try and educate people around not doing those sorts of things, or being really careful about what they allow as public and what they allow as private?
Exactly. Well, I do tend to mention that sometimes in my talks about that, and it's aimed obviously more at the parents, and I wonder what the figures are. It's probably difficult for the police to come out with the sort of figures of how many people have had their places robbed by simply tweeting, yeah, whole family's off on a holiday or whatever. And I know I'm very mindful of that. And even though most of the time when I'm traveling by myself and leaving my family at home, because I work from home, I'm very careful about saying that sort of thing. There's so many, as I said, we are all oversharing. We have to be really careful about what we're putting online. And that's the bottom line, even with, you know, people putting, kids putting their phone numbers and stuff on their Facebook page. People don't even think about it. They just think, oh, that's not going to be an issue until somebody doesn't like you and decides they want to cyberbully you. That's another thing that came out at the Worldwide Developers Conference, in Apple Worldwide Developers Conference this year, that I'm really excited about, is they've announced that on the iOS 7 that's coming out, that you're going to be able to block spammy text messages and phone calls. Which kind of blows me. When I first looked into this, which was about 2 years ago, I was actually quite surprised that you can't do that on most phones, even smartphones. You can't block or report spam text messages or SMS messages, which is a really big problem for kids getting getting bullied through text messages and stuff like that. And I've had some pretty bad spam messages lately. But as somebody pointed out when I posted that, I wonder what happens if they've blocked the phone number, whether it's going to work.
What's interesting is I do that through Google with Google Voice, and I know I don't believe it's available in Australia. It is here in the States, though, and I've been using it for years, and I'll block any spam text, and that also blocks the phone number from calling me as well. So I'm wondering if the service that Apple will be rolling out will be similar to that of Google Voice.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of apps around that you can install that do that, but they basically blacklist and whitelist.
Now I know why you don't reply to my Google Voice text, Jennifer.
Because you can't use it over here. All right, so Jacob, you have any questions for Leonie? Have you, Jacob? You're being very quiet, mate.
Just one.
Go ahead, mate.
How long ago did you start your site and business?
I started off with Digital Breezes, which is my social media training site. And then what happened was my oldest son started high school, and Facebook started becoming a real issue about 2 years ago. And I've been on Facebook since probably early 2007, used it a lot. and lots of other social media before it was even called social media, MySpace, the whole thing. And some of the mums were sort of asking me, were saying to me things like, you know, oh, I'm having such a problem with Facebook, blah, blah, blah. And I was talking to them about all the privacy settings and how to deal with it and all that kind of stuff. And someone said, you should give a talk at the school. And I did end up giving a talk, and it sort of carried on from there. I think I bring something a little bit different to the table because I come from a long history on the internet. A lot of people that do cyber safety come from a police background or investigation background, but I'm coming at it from a person who's used the internet for quite a long time, and I'm a mum, and I've been a mum for over 20 years because I have two grown-up stepchildren that I brought up as well after their mum passed away, and they were gamers. One of them was a huge gamer in sort of starting off with, you know, Atari consoles in 1993, 1994. So I've been doing this a long time as a from a parent's perspective. So instead of just getting up on stage and, you know, giving out the horror stories and talking at it from the point of view of somebody with a crime background, I'm actually hopefully giving parents some really practical advice on how to, you know, keep their kids and their family safer online. So that was probably 2 years ago now that I've been the cyber safety lady, which is what a client was calling me over and over, which is why I sort of coined the handle.
Great Leonie, name, great name. So, Steve, do you have any questions at all for Leonie?
Yeah, I noticed you were talking about, like, people twittering out, you know, when they're leaving the house and going on vacation. I could see, like, I've always been careful with certain applications or features of programs releasing where you live. Like, I think Foursquare kind of tells you location-wise. And I'm usually obviously, I don't put my address or phone number anywhere on the internet. So are there certain programs you need to watch out for that'll give you your location as far as where you live and things that you have to watch out for?
Just about every, you know, so many of them have geolocation turned up, and I turn them all off. Like, I turn Twitter geolocation off, Instagram have it, Facebook have it, all the social media pretty much have it, except for maybe some of the messaging programs have it. And so I advise everybody and parents to actually turn that off. I don't use Foursquare very much anymore, but there was that Girls Around Us app that came out. I don't know if you guys heard about that, which collated the information from Google Maps, Foursquare, Facebook, and was it one other thing? And so basically you opened this app up and it showed you all the people that checked in around you within the last 10 minutes and links to their Facebook accounts, which showed what they looked like, how old they were, whether they were in a relationship, what bands they liked. So creepy guy could walk over to them in the bar or wherever he located them and basically say, hi, I'm a friend of, you know, whoever the best friend is at the time on Facebook. I met you at, because they checked in somewhere. Apparently that app was taken down from the iTunes store, but they're going to bring out another app, the same developers that are Russian developers, and they're going to change it to make it only public places instead of private homes. Isn't that reassuring? So the biggest problem, I reckon, is real estate agents. When you buy or sell a house, often real estate agents will put up on their websites who owns the house and who bought it and who sold it. So if you want to find somebody, even by their IP address, and you have their real name and all that stuff. So first of all, you look at their IP address and find out which town they live in. You look at their name. Then you Google the name of the town that they live in and their name and look up real estate, and so many times you will find, through particularly in the last couple of years, real estate agents listing the name of the people that have bought or sold the house, and you'll find out exactly where they live.
All right, Andrew, we need to wrap up, mate, so go ahead. What did you want to say?
Yeah, just to finish up, Leonie, in a couple of steps, what can people listening, parents listening today, take away from you being on the show? What's a couple of things that they can do that's going to make things more safe and more secure for their kids? And also, are there any particular resources that you can guide us to on your website?
Yeah. The first thing is that most schools and communities have cyber safety talks, and parents aren't going to them. There's only like 5% of parents at any school that turn up to them, and often they're not the parents that need to go. And the reasons parents aren't going is because they hate the whole thought of cyber safety, or they think they know it all. And I get loads of IT people who say that they don't need to go because they're IT savvy, and it's a whole different thing. It's not the same. So they need to go to a cyber safety talk and find out what the latest apps are, which ones are safe for their kids and which ones aren't. They also need to talk to their kids and find out what their kids are really doing online and take an interest and kind of join with them, like do some gaming with their kids. Don't be, you know, we do all sorts of other things with our kids, but a lot of parents aren't actually spending time in the kids' world of what they're doing, you know, and where they're going. So that you need to have good conversations with your kids so your kids feel safe to come to you if they feel concerned about something that's going on. Also, with all the apps is the main thing that is going to be the biggest problem coming up. Facebook was all about Facebook last year, and this year Facebook is still a problem, but the apps and the messaging apps are a big problem. And a lot of parents think that they're quite safe, and actually they're not, particularly if they're linking up with other social media sites. So they're asking you to share your profile with Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And that's when your kids are really getting into problems. There is a nice site that you can go to that will give you a really good review on lots of apps called secure.me. And if you are concerned about any apps that your kids are downloading, you can go to that site and it'll give you a really good review, and it'll tell you exactly, you know, why they think that this app is safe or why they think it's a problem. And for kids under 13, they should have parental controls, even if they're you know, if not really strict controls on any device that is internet connected. So if you give your child an iPad and it's got no parental controls on it, they're most likely to see adult content pretty quickly. The average age these days of kids seeing their first pornographic image is 11, and it's getting younger every year simply because parents don't know about parental controls and safety settings, and you really need to know that about any device that your children is using.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That. So, yeah. Steve, final thoughts and whatever you want to say on that?
Not much as far as that goes, but you can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Me on Brad Eisen Tech Webcast. Andrew, final thoughts as always, and Xbox One, mate.
Yeah, final thoughts. Thanks very much, Leonie Smith. It's been fantastic. And the cybersafetylady.com.au. I implore any parents, actually anyone out there, have a good look at her site and yeah, see what they think from there and hopefully learn a few things. Xbox One, I am probably going to be going PlayStation 4 because I have a Fanatec steering wheel and pedal set and things built into a rig, and the Xbox One will not accommodate that.
PlayStation 4
will.
That sucks big time for you. Oh, no more Xbox One for you, Xbox 360 for you.
I'll get the 360, but yeah, that'll be the one. But yeah.
Well, okay, how much is the PlayStation 4?
It's going to be about $500 in Australia. It's about $100 more expensive than the US, but it will be a little bit cheaper than the Xbox One is in Australia.
Oh, well, enjoy that, mate. Jacob, yeah,
and
Jones.
If you want to grab me, you can grab me at zafra.com/@Andrew and Ari from Oz on Facebook and Twitter.
Well said, mate. Well said. Jacob Jones.
Yes. You can follow me at jaspot326691z, and this is a good show.
It was a great show, and Leonie, you rock, and your website is great for everyone to check out. I agree, and Jennifer.
Hi, I just wanted to say, yeah, Leonie, this is awesome, and I also want to encourage people to go to your website and check out the book that you have. You didn't even mention that you have Keeping Kids Safe, Computers and Our Kids by Leonie Smith. 2013 edition, available for only $7 on Script right now, so you can download it, and that's great. So I think that's what you're doing is an awesome message, and kudos to you, so thank you. And for me, you can find me at jenniferruggiero.com or getnerdywithit.com.
Oh, yeah, great
as well.
Podcast, and we're on that next Friday, mate.
Yes, you are. Next Friday, you guys are going to be on. I cannot wait.
All of us, even Andrew's going to be on.
Looking forward to it, Jennifer.
Leonie, do you have a final thought you want to mention before we go and your Twitter address and stuff?
Thanks for having me on, guys. And it's always great to to speak to other people that know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the manual is a how-to manual. So it goes through steps on how to set up safe search settings on Google and Bing and privacy settings on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So it's very, very practical.
Good stuff. Do you also get into Xbox-related stuff?
My son has Xbox. He has 360.
Yeah.
A pretty old one. And the reason he probably won't get the new one is because he's really upset about – I know they've kind of reversed it, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Said now you can use your old games on it, but I'm not quite sure how that's going to work yet. But it's really expensive, the Xbox one.
So he's not going to get one then?
I don't know whether he will or not. He was a bit annoyed with the whole game sharing side of things, but yeah, they seem to have reversed that, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah. Andrew, do you know anything about that?
No. As you said, Leonie, I think they have reversed that, but there's a whole heap of privacy things where you may not be able to sell secondhand games, and I think they're going way too crazy with that, whereas, you know, Sony have basically come, said, yep, no problems to all of that. So Sony may actually get a few new users out of this.
Yeah, I think they will. Yep. All right, this has been episode 244. Rate us on iTunes and leave us some feedback and stuff. And, Jacob, thanks for being on, mate.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your new internet next Friday. I'm sure we'll probably hear about it on the show next Saturday, as always. And we'll be on Jennifer's show next week as well. I can't wait. What sort of questions do you have for us, Jenna, before we go? So we know.
Oh, God. You know what? It will be, you have to wait and see. It's a secret.
Is it really?
No. I don't know yet. I know you guys so well. I don't. So we'll see. I got to come up with something interesting. I know you're going to hijack the show, though, so I'm
Jacob,
prepared.
Jacob will
I'll be prepared.
Andrew sent me messages telling me to kill it. Okay, so I'm going to kill it. Here we go. See you guys. Thanks.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guest they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!